You're listening to the My North American Dream podcast with me, Tolu. I'm now in Atlanta, and quite frankly, it's time to talk about what happened in California. The 1 year there, what the hell happened, reasons why I left, reasons why I went there, reasons, things I enjoyed about it. It's all about to start right now. Well, this has been the longest hiatus I've had off my podcast situation since I started doing one of these. And quite frankly, I think, you know, it almost signifies to the degree how much this move has been, planning for it, preparing for it, executing it, and ultimately also settling on the other side in a different state, in a different city, in a different lifestyle. So we'll talk about Atlanta in a separate episode in terms of the places I found, things I thought about doing, But first, before we even discuss where I'm at now, we're going to do a quick, almost like review of everything that happened in the last year while I was in California, how I picked it and stuff like that. So I'll start with my conclusions on the place and then we'll work backwards from that. I prefer now, I'm discovering that I actually prefer when people just give me their conclusions at the beginning and then help me understand how they got there than going the other way where it's like, you wait for this like crescendo at the end where it's like a, you know, and for this reason, I'm 1, 2, 3, 4. I'd rather just start there. So ultimately, in terms of my conclusion about California, especially my experience with NorCal specifically, because that's where I was in the Bay Area, a fabulous place to visit, potentially a fabulous place to live if you already have a community there. Also great if you have a job that can sustain the lifestyle there. If you do not have any of those key components, it is very, very difficult to enjoy as a city and ultimately to enjoy as a human being if you do not have a strong community, a strong financial base that essentially maintains the cost of living there in terms of a job or your own business or something like that. And so for those reasons, since I felt that my job was always going to be under threat and also making friends and stuff like that was kind of difficult, I had to make the difficult decision ultimately to walk away from, or at least not walk away, fly away, to be honest, from the Bay Area ultimately. Overall, a great experience though, certainly worth experiencing, especially for someone who had always wanted to be in California or to experience the tech life and things like that. I got to fulfill that dream. I got to live it out for 12 months. Really enjoyed my time there and the lessons of the things that, you know, happened there. I also got to travel out of there a lot. Great airport as well, which we'll come to in a second, but really fantastic, fantastic experience. So that is my conclusion on the Bay Area. So if that is all you came to hear about the episode titled California and my experience in the Bay Area, that is it. You may stop now and move on. For those of us who want to stick around though, let's get into it. So first of all, let's start with why I picked Bay Area. So if you remember, I got the job 12, 13 months, 14 months, whenever it was I got the job from Toronto. I had the option of going to either, I believe it was Seattle was the other option where my team was based, either Seattle or California Bay Area. And for many people who know my scenario with like darkness and grays and things like that, Seattle was certainly going to be a very, very difficult space to be in for my mental. So ultimately I had to choose the Bay Area and moving to somewhere in San Francisco Bay Area. So that's kind of that. Luckily, Facebook would pay entirely for that move, so I had to do nothing, no even lifting of a finger, other than resettling and unpacking my belongings once I got to the other side. So that was the decision of getting there. I also had the option to be remote anywhere in the US after that, though. So I knew that after 12 months, and this was part of Facebook policy at the time, after 12 months, I could go remote anywhere. And so part of my thinking at the time was, if the Bay Area slaps, obviously I could stay and it wouldn't matter. If I have to move, ultimately, I have this trump card at the back of my pocket. I could move. If I even wanted to go to Seattle, if I was just like, you know what, Seattle is not that different, then ultimately I could also go there as well. So I had that trump card at the back of my mind where I could move at any time. My clothes and my things were pretty light. I don't have a lot of stuff. So I felt I could always move. So that was kind of the getting there side. When I got to the Bay Area, as some of you who follow on Instagram know, obviously there was the growing pains, things like, you know, the little racism I got with getting my driver's license that I got, where they failed me for no apparent reason until I went to Oakland to get my driver's license. And the lady there was like, you obviously know how to drive. What is the reason? And I was like, well, because, you know, California doesn't transfer Canada-based licenses. So ultimately, she passed me in flying colors, and I still wonder today why the other person did not pass me and ultimately even failed me. And obviously, you know, I'm going to assume it's because, you know, skin color, but hey, I might be wrong, I might be right, who knows, doesn't really matter. Then, you know, that was kind of like step one. Step two was then ultimately finding a place. So as many of you know, and this is obviously gets into the next thing, which is cost of living. Cost of living in the Bay Area is wild and ridiculous. There is nothing wrong with, you know, the roommate situation, nothing wrong with, like, you know, doing what you got to do to make ends meet. There's nothing wrong with, you know, going out of your way to, you know, make things work, essentially. You know, life happens. But ultimately understand as well that from my perspective, right, like I got into a place where I bought property, I lived on my own. So like to go back to that was kind of difficult. But from a financial perspective, you have to also be prudent. So in picking a place, I tried to set a ceiling on what I wanted to spend on my house and on my housing situation. I looked at the cost of everything. And ultimately, the cap that I got to was $3,500. That was where I wanted to stop. And even as I think about that now, my first job out of undergrad, $3,500 was how much I made in a month. And I was a software developer at the time. So it's not as if like I was doing a scrappy job. But essentially, that's kind of how much I was willing to spend on rent, especially because one, I wanted to stay on my own. I had to ensure that. I've gotten to a place in my life where living with other people, as lovely as it is, unless it's family or a partner, I didn't want to do that. Just, again, personal preference. Obviously, people have their own choices and what have you. That's fine. But for me, that was very important to me. I did not care particularly about living in a high rise at the time. It didn't really matter. So I, again, factor that in. I was thinking I would move back to live in the suburbs. If I was living in California where there's a lot of sunshine, there's a lot of, you know, great weather, I wanted people to enjoy it. And so I thought it'd be okay. I'm open to either an apartment building or, you know, a townhouse, because I could flex either way. It's only me anyways, no big deal. Ultimately settled on a place outside of San Francisco. It's a place called Hayward. It's a city called Hayward. It's in the middle of the Bay Area. So every major city in the Bay Area or every major place in the Bay Area is within 45 minutes drive from Hayward. So it was central, it's perfect. It was new construction as well, which a lot of people know I like. And also, you know, big windows, lots of lights. Again, as some of you know, I am a plant. So I felt it was going to be perfect for me. I found a spot. It was $3,300, I believe. And it included 80% off of some of the major utilities except electricity. So, and even the electricity, it had solar panels. So you can imagine my costs were very, very, from a utility perspective, I think I utilized very low. So gas was really low because, again, how many people am I cooking for? electric was almost essentially covered a lot by solar. And ultimately, you know, water, garbage, all those kind of things, only one person, it doesn't take that much. At the time, I also thought I would have friends. So I got a 2-bedroom who would visit in California if I covered the biggest cost, which is, you know, housing. Maybe people would come visit me. I was wrong. People didn't come to visit me, but that's okay. It's fine. Ultimately, I got a 2-bedroom for $3,300, including some of these things I talked about. So I was regularly under the $3,500 threshold that I wanted at that time. Okay. So that's kind of the living situation. Now let's talk about other areas. So weather in the Bay Area, because I use specifically Northern California, that's kind of where I lived. I did not live in LA. I did not live in Anaheim. I wasn't in Santa Barbara. I wasn't in any of those fabulous tropical places that you would expect from California. The weather in the Bay is slightly colder than you would think of California, slightly. But the cool thing about it is it doesn't vary much. It is regularly cool temperature. It isn't hot, but it isn't warm. In terms of like super warm, like, oh my goodness, I'm sweating, I'm humid. That's not Northern California. So you're thinking like your 20s, your 16s, your 18s, 24, on a really hot day, 25 maybe. That is Bay Area. And it's like that all year long. In the winter, quote unquote, and I'm doing airdrops even though you can't see me. In the winter, you would get maybe like a 10, maybe 5 at night. That's because you're inside already, but maybe like a 10 at best. or sorry, at worst, I should say, 10 at worst. But for the most part, you're still in the 16s most of the time, 15, 16, that's it. So from a weather perspective, you can't really beat it, to be honest. Like, you're hardly ever too hot, you're hardly ever too cold. So if you like that kind of lifestyle, then obviously, you know, San Francisco and the Bay Area is for you. From a things to do perspective, there's a lot to do. Keep in mind, because I said San Francisco Bay Area, it includes two other major cities. So you've got San Francisco, you've got Oakland, and you've got San Jose. All of them, if you're coming from Hayward, they're all 45 minutes in each direction. From San Francisco to San Jose, depending on traffic, an hour and a half, you're there. If you're coming from Oakland to San Francisco or the other way, San Francisco to Oakland, they are right beside each other, connected by a bridge. So in like 30 minutes, you're on one side or the other, 15. Again, if you're on a good day where nobody else is doing anything. And of course, because it's San Francisco, there's always something. There's a convention, there's a lot of tech there. You know, there's a conference. There's major sports teams. Oakland has lost all its sports teams, which is so unfortunate, by the way. As I want to just add this caveat. Oakland has lost a lot of sports teams. They used to have an NFL team, an MLB team. I can't remember the other major sport, an NBA team as well, but now they've lost them all to different cities. So Oakland lost the Warriors over to San Francisco. They've lost the Raiders, which is their NFL team, to Vegas, and now they've lost their MLB team again, the A's, to Vegas. So from a things to do perspective, that's Oakland. But keep in mind that there are other there are other teams in the area. So you could, for example, go to like San Jose for like the Sharks. There's other things, like there's hockey there. There's, I believe San Jose has the soccer team in the MLS. So there's a bunch of stuff you can do, quite frankly, in the Bay Area, especially if you're a sports fan. Obviously, you've got the 49ers as well. If you want to do that, there's San Francisco Giants for baseball. So from a things to do perspective, there's stuff. Of course, you know, concerts, all that jazz. So, man, from a things to do perspective, fantastic place to be as well. Then the cool thing that people love about the Bay Area is food, which I also particularly enjoyed. There's a strong Asian community there. So as you can imagine, a lot of Asian food. If you want to do Japanese, Korean, Chinese, Vietnamese, Filipino food, all of that is there in spades and in bulk. Fam. I thoroughly loved eating in the Bay Area. Of course, it's expensive. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's cheap. But what did I not eat? Dumplings, noodles, like par second par day. The thing I didn't like, though, is that there isn't enough Nigerian food out there. That one I will call out since we're on the topic of food. Not really the greatest Nigerian food community over there. There were a couple of places I tried. And honestly, the best I can say is Kotemilon. That's the best English I've got for you. I'm sorry. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's bad. It's, you know, let me not lie to you guys. It was not. It didn't do the needful at all. It didn't, like, I'm sorry. No. Yeah, if I speak, I'm in trouble. That's all I can say about the food, the Nigerian food there. Like, if I speak, I'm in trouble. Like, I prefer not to speak, you know, it's one of those things. Anyways, so let's move on from there. Now, the key thing, I think, for my experience in the Bay Area, which I'm not sure if it's like a hindsight thing or whatever, but like in terms of making friends and people in the Bay Area, I think you can make friends. I think this is just a regular adult thing. I think the older you get, the harder it is to make friends in general. It's not maybe specific to the Bay Area. But in the Bay Area, even aside from having difficulty making friends, I think people flake out a bit more in the Bay Area. And also people are just busier than I've experienced in my adult life in the Bay Area. In part because maybe everybody's looking for hustle. Like, Toronto is fast paced. Bay Area is not as fast in terms of like the pace. Like, everybody's working from like 9 to whenever, you know, like you're doing like two jobs or whatever, which is cool. But in the Bay Area, like when you're working, is a slow lifestyle, but it is always work. Like, there isn't like a, and again, maybe it's just the age and stage of my life, but there wasn't a lot of like, oh yeah, I'm just chilling this way. What are you doing this way? Nothing. Like, there's no nothing that people are doing. And that sometimes is hard to do because it's like, I like doing nothing with people sometimes, you know? You're just like regular hangs and you just eat and just like, what else do you know that you guys doing? Nothing, like nothing really tangible. And I think too many people forget to create space to do nothing in their lives because there's always this need of like, either you're trying to make this next progression or whatever. And also the Bay Area, there's a lot of like competition with the next person. Like someone just sold their company for 100 million. This one is trying to sell his own company for 200 million. Or someone is trying to make their own like startup that's going to, you know, 5X in 2 days, or, you know, all this kind of craziness. And I'm just like, look, guys, I'm going to retire in like 10 years. That's my own plan, finish. Like whatever I need to do to get there is all, but like, it's not doing me that I must work. But at the same time, I started to realize that I was quickly getting into that habit of always working, because, well, if no one is around to hang and I'm in this place to work, I'm just going to imbibe that culture. And so I just naturally started working all the time. And so aside from the people that I met who were this way, where, you know, people are busy, people are doing whatever, I too started to recognize that I was also just like picking up work for the sake of having things to do. Like work became a hobby, work became work. So it's not just the job itself. It was not a hobby to also work. And you would notice, for example, when I traveled, I would find a way to work while I was traveling. Don't get me wrong, I love what I do, which is kind of the point. But I also noticed that it was starting to become a habit too much of like, aside from even enjoying the place I was in, it was not a matter of how well does this place I'm traveling to allow me enjoy my work. And I think I wanted to almost like snap out of that in a very interesting way. So, you know, that was kind of the California experience. Now, there's some other unfortunate things that happened, which I also should also get to, and I'll probably use that to close out this episode. So remember the house I got where I talked about, like, you know, it was a 2-bedroom. It was in the burbs. You know, had my own car garage, had electric charging because I got an electric car. I mean, I really did the full tech bro thing, man. Jesus. Anyways, so I had an electric car, I had electric charging, I had all those things. And so on one of my travels, someone broke into my house. And this is one of the reasons why I did not want to live in San Francisco proper. I remember I talked earlier in this episode about living in Hayward. So Hayward is a city outside of San Francisco. It's outside of San Jose. It's outside of Oakland. So it's not near any of the major, you know, cities itself, but it is within a central drive of all of them. That's one of my reasons for picking Hayward. San Francisco has a huge homelessness problem. Huge. Oakland is essentially not well maintained or well kept. Obviously, part of why some of these sports teams are leaving. Obviously, California overall is very expensive. And if you're in the Bay Area, it is all tech money. So if you're not in tech, or you're not doing anything that supports the functions of tech, so like, for example, you know, accounting, you know, legal or finance that is around tech in some way, shape or form, you essentially can't live there. You can't afford to live there. And with each new tech money, quote unquote, that comes into the place, which, you know, is per second, it gets increasingly more difficult for regular people to live. And so I don't know that encourages an affordable lifestyle for everyone other than those who can afford it, right? Like, so people start getting desperate. And so in my scenario, someone broke into my house. They jumped through the balcony, broke in through my window, and essentially started going through my things in my house. Now, luckily, and obviously, again, for additional context, my house is not on the first level, and it's not on the ground floor. It's one level above the ground. So for them to break in, they actually had to like climb a neighboring building somehow and jump into my building, or somehow scale like the first level and climb my balcony. Still don't know how they did this, because unfortunately I don't have a camera outside of my house in terms of the balcony, but a camera in front of my door. So somehow they scaled it anyways, going to my house. And luckily my neighbors heard that essentially something was happening, and obviously they knew I wasn't home, I traveled. So they were like, they called me directly, being like, hey, are you home? And I was like, no, I'm not home, what's going on? They're like, yeah, we thought it wasn't you, because, like, you know, it was like a really weird sounds coming through your house and going through the window. I was like, going through the window? I did, in my mind, again, I did not even process that you can actually scale the fence. And anyway, so scaled, he came in, and they called the police right away. The police luckily got to my place in time. So luckily, I think I was in a good enough neighborhood where the police care enough in general to come to my house so fast that they got there in time where he heard police sirens coming and he bolted. Nothing of real value was stolen, or nothing that you could actually carry. I think he was even trying to steal my PS5 at the time, because when I came back home, I saw that my PS5 was disconnected, my internet was disconnected, because they were all in like the same like power brick. So he was trying to steal my PS5 at the time. And luckily, because of the way I had connected my wires through the back of my console, and all of it was like tied up in a very weird way, I put an extension cord under my TV. So it was like a very intricate detail of how I like to set up my electrical stuff. Luckily, that delayed him enough that the police got there in time where he heard it and he just ran out. So he ran away and the police didn't go after him because essentially, you know, it didn't seem like, first of all, they didn't see him when they got there. And also, by the time they got in, it didn't seem like a lot was taken. So they just let things go. And so as a result, when I got home from my travel, I became very uncomfortable. And unfortunately, because Meta 2 was also doing a lot of like work, layoffs and stuff. Now, keep in mind again, like I say, I was untouched by the layoffs, but my team was not. Like my team was decimated and halved. So with the housing thing happening to me where someone broke in, I also couldn't sleep in my house for like months. I wouldn't sleep properly. Because again, I just had this concern that again, keep in mind, I live alone. So there was also the concern that what happens if someone breaks in while I'm at home by myself? Am I going to fight him? And I'm like, you know, I've never been in a position where someone has broken into my space while I was there, or someone has like threatened my space while I was there. I was like, what fight or flight response would come out? Anyways, didn't matter. I don't have to exercise that. And so unfortunately, I just always would sleep like half the time just because I wanted to be prepared in the event of anything happening. And I know that wasn't the way to live. So the next decision was essentially, do I go somewhere else in the Bay Area where I would be quote unquote more safe, or do I just leave the Bay Area entirely since I had the option to go remote? And ultimately, I decided I would just leave the Bay Area entirely. There were a lot of things I would have wanted to change about the Bay. You know, proximity, having friends come over, proximity to visit my friends in Canada every once in a while, proximity to go back to Nigeria, proximity to a very good airport. And so those kind of things weighed on my mind because traveling out of SFO, which is the major airport in San Francisco, was very, very difficult in terms of the length of flights from there. So if you're trying to go to like a Dubai, for example, you're going all the way across the US, all the way across Europe, all the way across Africa till you get to the Middle East. If I'm going to, for example, Toronto, same thing, you're flying all the way across the continent. It was just a lot. So it's like, let me just, instead of trying to like adjust within the Bay Area to make this work, especially since my work did not require and necessitates for me to be in the Bay Area anymore. I'd fulfilled my 12 months in the Bay. I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to move out of the Bay Area entirely. Now, last thing I wanted to mention, because I said I was talking about the airport. The airport in San Francisco is so, so efficient. Like I have TSA PreCheck, I have Claire, I have Nexus, all of them. It is a very, very good airport. You don't even have to take your things out of the check-in. So the bag. So if you have a regular bag, you don't have to take your stuff out. You don't have to take your laptop out. You don't have to take any of those things, right? You just put it in and it'll scan it. So a fabulous airport, great lounges. If you have like Centurion stuff, you can go to that lounge. It closes at 9, which is the only thing I didn't like. I'm like, why is it closed at 9? Like a lot of red eye flights. Like for God's sake, this airport is 247. What's really the matter? But that aside, really good airport, really good, pretty convenient. It's just flying from there to major cities in the world was just so much longer because you have to fly across all of the US first. So for all those reasons, I was like, you know what? Let's make an adjustment to life. It's been a great 12 months in San Francisco and the Bay Area, I should say, overall. But, you know, hey, can't forget those memories. And unfortunately, you know, the break-in did not help. But that aside, overall, you know, knowing what I know now, that is, again, I would probably, again, change only the unfortunate incidents. Maybe I'd live in a high-rise and just tolerate the homelessness problem that I would see every day. Maybe, I don't know. But I don't think there'll be much out of change about that experience because it was worth seeing. It's good. I've seen it now. I know what it's like to live in San Francisco. I know what it's like to work in tech in San Francisco. So overall, a great experience. And it is what it is. So now we move on with life onto the next set of things in terms of where I live now. We'll talk about that in the next episode. Catch you then. Peace.